During the winter solstice in Aragath, the people celebrate Yule Frost, a holiday centered on family and friends, gifts, and feasts. This Yule Frost is a particularly notable one for a certain little boy with an undefined accent. His father is owner and proprietor of BK Bottles, an esteemed artisanal glassmaking shop in the market district of Newlight. Above his father's business is their home, as lovely and well-maintained as the shop below. In one of the small rooms of that home, we see the little boy, tinkering away with metallic bits and bobs he could scrape together from the workshop.
Just need a few more screws, activating solar power, and battery initiation sequence.
Some small chimes sound, and the servos whir into motion. He holds the little creature in his hands close to his face to get a better look. A large central eye in the center of this contraption's body begins to flutter and light up. It scrambles onto its four tiny legs and looks up at its creator.
Hello, world. Are you my master?
Master? Why would I be your master? I am your friend.
Friend? Friend? Thank you, master.
I guess we'll work on that later. I have to give you a name.
The little boy scans the room for inspiration, and his eyes land on a picture he drew of his deceased Joyfish. You see, ever since the boy was very small, he'd been plagued by horrific nightmares as he sleeps. The presence of his magical Joyfish made all of his dreams pleasant instead. Since the death of his beloved pet, the nightmares have returned.
Oh, I'll name you Chester.
Yes, Hare. Thank you, Master.
No, I'm Sebastian. I guess I can teach you later. I want to show you to your family.
Sebastian flings his bedroom door open and rushes out cradling his new friend, shouting for his father and mother. He finds his mother in the kitchen preparing dinner and holds up the robot to her, beaming. She kneels down to embrace him.
What a cute little guy. You made that all by yourself? I'm very impressed. Go show your father. I bet he will be too.
Sebastian knew to find his father in his office and ran as fast as he could, sliding on the wood floor to see him. He held his contraption up to him with a smile so big, Jack returned a scowl to his son with one glance at Chester.
I've told you so many times not to bother me in here, especially with something as unimportant as that pepper grinder you've made. Leave me be, unless it's actually worth my time, Sebastian.
No trace of happiness remained on Sebastian's face. His arms slumped to his sides, and he hung his head as he turned and shuffled out the door. He sulked back to his room, despondent.
I have failed, Master.
No, Chester. It was me. I am the failure. I'm worthless.
In his frustration, Sebastian accidentally throws his robot friend against the wall, and Chester slides down the crack behind the bed.
No! Chester, are you okay?
Sebastian, realizing what he's done, rushes to help his friend.
Does it please you to harm me, Master?
No, I feel terrible. I'm so sorry.
Sebastian notices one of Chester's arms is missing. He grabs a flashlight and retrieves it from behind the bed. He looks at the flashlight, then back at Chester. He had a brilliant idea.
Let's get you fixed up, buddy.
Ready for upgrade.
Sebastian rushes down to his father's workshop and finds two floodlights that he quickly mounts to the front of Chester. He scrambles back upstairs and bursts into Jack's office.
Father, meet Chester 2.0, an even better robot than before. Chester, activate lights.
Activating lights.
Chester's new flood lamps kick on. A blazing bright white light fills the room and Jack recoils as the beams catch him fully in the eyeballs.
I'm blind, Sebastian. What have you done, Sebastian? No.
Sebastian got the idea his father wasn't pleased.
If I catch you,
looks like I'll have to turn up the heat with another upgrade, Chester.
Primed for augmentation.
Sebastian decided he could do more. He could do anything. He was determined to win his father's approval no matter what. With another trip to the workshop for some tinkering, he returned to his father, who was now wearing sunglasses. Still poring over paperwork.
Chester 2.0 was nothing. Chester 2.5 is the real deal.
Sebastian held Chester right up to Jack's ear so he could hear better.
Hit the alarm, Chester.
Danger! Danger! Danger!
Oh, Sebastian! What is that noise?
Sebastian walks out of the office, scratching his chin, pondering why this upgrade wasn't impressive enough.
So watch out, because I'm coming for you.
Chester, we need to be more aggressive, on the offensive.
Master, might I make a suggestion?
Chester laid out his plans for the ultimate improvement, and Sebastian got to work. He felt in his heart that this was the one to prove to everyone, once and for all, that he was a hotshot. Sebastian spoke to his father when he reappeared in his office, not realizing Jack had donned additional ear protection in the form of sound-canceling earmuffs.
Chester 3.0 recommended his own upgrade this time. Now he also fires a taser.
Firing taser.
Two electrified, barbed metal spears attached to wires launched out of Chester like a shotgun blast and sunk themselves deep into Jack's side. He screamed and lurched upward shortly before being folded like a lawn chair onto the ground. He shouted words and phrases I can't repeat in this holiday special. Jax shakily got to his feet, glaring at Sebastian. He tore the wires out of Chester violently and put his face right in his son's.
That is the last straw. I have had all I'm going to take. Get out.
Tears streamed down Sebastian's face as he ran to his room and loaded a backpack with what he considered essentials. He slipped out his window onto the woodpile below and carefully climbed down to the snowy ground. A short sprint later, Sebastian was in the dense wood not far from his home, Chester's lamps casting bright light ahead of them. This was a place he was told to never go, but now thought he'd set up camp and live here. After walking for several minutes, it was clear this scheme was not going well.
Master, my little arms are cold. Upgrades malfunctioning.
The lamps on the front of Chester started to flicker and got worse the longer they walked.
You don't have a temperature sensor, but you're not wrong. My nose is making icicles.
It wasn't long before Chester's lights stopped working completely, and any feeling of safety that Sebastian had flew away. He could no longer see very well, and decided he would try his best to hunker down for the night. As he rummaged through his backpack, he began to hear concerning noises. A rumbling, a sniff, large footfalls, a bear. It had to be. The bears in this forest were said to grow as big as houses, but Sebastian had never seen one. He stayed as still as he could, but the beast was tracking him now, lumbering ever closer. All of a sudden, Sebastian could make out its shape moving through the trees. It was as big as a house. Steam and drool were pouring from its jaws. It found its way to a small clearing, and Sebastian swore he locked eyes with it. His heart was pounding in his ears. The bear roared and charged at him through a narrow opening in the trees. He clutched Chester close and turned his back to the predator, trying to shield his friend from the danger barreling down on them. Then, bang. The bear made a pained yowl and started falling over itself, trying to get away. Sebastian caught a final glimpse of the beast as it stomped out of sight.
You're pretty lucky I came upon y'all when I did.
Sebastian jerked his head around to see an old bearded man with a lantern and a smoking rifle. At his side, a reindeer with completely full saddlebags.
Traipsing in these woods at night is not exactly what I would call a lucrative hobby for a little boy. Just what are you doing out here?
Sebastian was told to never speak to strangers. The man held his lantern higher and noticed his backpack.
Ah, runaway, is it? Well, we've all been there. I know you. You're Bottle of Jack's kid, Sebastian. Well, I could take you on home. It's not far from here.
I don't ever want to go home again. My father hates me. As hard as I try to win his approval, I always fall short.
I tell you, your father is tougher than leather and about half as fun to work with. Now, I don't know about your home life, and I won't begin to try, but you gotta do what matters to you. The only approval you should seek is your own. Do what you love and toss the rest to the wind. Now come on, I can't leave you out here.
Master, my hardware is freezing.
Sebastian reluctantly agreed to his proposal. He thought himself foolish for even attempting to run away in the first place. Upon his arrival at home, he thanked the man for his advice and started to climb the stairs to the back door.
I can't believe you. I just can't believe you. You're terrible.
Sebastian heard arguing as he ascended the stairs. He crept up to the door and peeked through a crack and saw his parents.
You've gone too far this time. You made our son feel like he was worthless, and now we can't find him.
He's fine, and he'll be back. He isn't strong enough to survive on his own. He'll be back.
How can you talk about him like that? A child needs love from his father.
He needs correction and toughening, not love. If you keep him soft, he'll never take over the business.
The business? Always the business. That's all you care about.
That's not true.
Not your family? Certainly not me.
I do.
You let that monster take Phineas.
And I should have let him take Sebastian too. What difference would that have made? At least we could have stayed out of the fire for a while longer. I am working my fingers to the bone for this family.
We need you to be here with us, not always working.
Anna, you know that that isn't possible right now.
Sebastian backed slowly away from the door and down the stairs. As hurt as Sebastian was by his father's words, he had more questions and was more curious than anything. Who is Phineas? What monster? He knew it was best to avoid the situation. He climbed the woodpile up to his window and snuck in as quietly as possible. They'll find me tomorrow, he thought, as he tucked Chester into bed with him. He slept, and dreams of gargantuan bears with bloody maws and razor-sharp claws haunted him. Sebastian, having reached a man's age now, jolts up in his bed, awakened by this nightmare and the smell of smoke. He leaps to his feet with Chester in tow, grabs his bag of tools, and sees the fire just outside his door, raging. He turns and rolls out the window and onto the woodpile, then down to the snow, much like he did years ago. He sees his parents stumbling through the snow, away from the house. His mother is in his father's arms, sobbing.
How could you do this, Sebastian?
Sebastian stood stunned. He couldn't believe what his father was saying.
The fire? I didn't do this.
You have destroyed this family. I want you to leave and never return.
Sebastian looks to his mother. She turns away from him. He has finally given in, completely dismantled. He tosses his bag over his back and walks away. Chester clambers onto his shoulder as if to comfort Sebastian. The little robot looks back at the burning home. He catches a glimpse of a tall, dark figure slinking away from the workshop in the shadows. His alarm starts to sound, then suddenly stops as the shade's gaze meets his mechanical eye.
Chester, what's wrong?
False alarm.